that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, October 8th, 2016. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for getting up early if you're out in our neck of the woods this morning and joining us here. And we're glad to be here. We say good morning, Holy Spirit, and come with us. Well, John, if you would open up in prayers, we'll open up the phone lines after that and see where we go.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us, the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, to get together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Lord, we just ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, that you would bring upon our minds the thoughts that you want portrayed to your people, the remnant. Lord, there's so much going on in the world today. And Lord, we know that we deserve this punishment. And we can see that there's nothing but the hand of God that's involved in all of this that's going on in the world today because of our disobedience, because of our sin, because so many have forgot you. Father, we do continue to cry out for those that can, that come to repentance. Lord, we ask that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would be pulled away from the things of the world and brought into the things that matter. Lord, that in the last days there will be a famine, but the famine is not of food and water. It's a famine of the truth. And men will run to and fro and will won't be able to find it. But Father, we know that there's still a little bit of time left to find that truth, and that's our prayer and our petition, is that those who are called by your name would find that truth. And Lord, that they would repent. Father, we've prayed it many a time, and we ask that our country would come to revival, that they would return to you. Lord, that your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. So you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So we do cry out for grace and mercy. We ask you to find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We ask that the Holy Spirit would guide us, the patriarchs of our household, and that we would hear and obey. Father, bring us to that complete obedience, where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. Ask for a special anointing on today's program, that it would be powerful, Lord, and the destruction, the forces of hell that are coming against us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, looking at the weather updates this morning, it looks like Hurricane Matthew is still grade 2 hurricane rolling through. Looks like it rolled through, hit Tybee Island pretty hard. Talked to some family down in Florida, and they said they at least in the middle of the state, didn't get it too bad. And their weather's already clearing up, but looks like it's still hitting Savannah, rolling into South Carolina. Had a report from Tybee Island, which is right there on the coast outside of Savannah, that from a guy said, you know, I stayed, I should have left, but they were getting through it. And just looks like massive flooding is going to be expected on the East Coast. They're talking maybe 8 feet in St. Augustine, which is right up on the Florida-Georgia border, right in there. And so getting some pretty serious weather over there. And they're thinking it may just ease right up the entire East Coast, all the way up in the next couple days. Thought it was interesting. I don't know if you saw it, but here, I'll share it with you. I saw it on the news report yesterday, a report of it, and but it was South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley asked for prayers. She said, now's the time we ask for prayer. And I just find that interesting in a time that, you know, this false righteousness, this false, oh, we can do anything, attitude that seems to be prevalent in most of the land. Anyway, I just thought it was encouraging when a state governor asks for prayer and it gets reported on the news, you know. I don't think they're... I mean, maybe it's just my naivety. I don't think that she's praying to Baal. Maybe. But I think...
Yeah, you just never know. I mean, that's why it's right. A good idea, and I encourage anybody, anytime they pray for somebody like that, use a prayer filter.
Yeah.
That pretty much, you know, corrects it. You can pray for them, believe in when you do that, and you can pray, you don't do just that. And... you know, a lot of times, even you know, what our enemies do, too, is, you know, they work in different ways. But, you know, they understand when they ask us to pray for them. You know, if somebody's an enemy of ours, and they ask us to pray for them, they recognize that we have a connection with our God and that we can bring upon them blessing. You know, that's why the prayer filter is so very important. You know, but, you know, if they're not an enemy, then... you know, God can make that distinction. You know, we don't know, and sometimes we don't know that, and that's why, you know, the pastor didn't know. That's why he came up with the prayer filter, you know, to filter those prayers, to make those corrections to our prayers. And, you know, I that's that's how, and makes it that much more effective when you do go pray for somebody like that. But somebody asking for prayer, it's like, you know, we have an obligation when somebody asks for prayer is to pray for them.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think our prayers this week have been that way, you know, that I know we prayed Thursday night, you know, and it's, Lord, protect those that are yours. You know, let it be a time of difference. Let it be a time that you know, the people that are still in the dark see that, hey, listen, there's something different. You know, I spoke with Brother Ralph and this past week, Thursday during the day, and, you know, he gave this testimony again where he said, you know, that big tornado they had there in Branson and Hollister a few years ago. He said, you know, when houses down his street are completely destroyed and his garbage can isn't even blown over in his yard. And he talked about another couple there they got up the next morning and their yard was perfect. There wasn't a leaf in the yard. It was just the way it was when they went to bed that night. And the hotel, two blocks away, was completely demolished. Not even two blocks away, a block away, was leveled. That is the hand of God. God protects His people. He is that refuge in the storm. And our people need to remember that. We need to remember that. And we have been praying for those that are His. And you know, very good point there, Jason. We have the prayer filter. And we've got it on a bookmarker. Folks, if you're listening in and you're like, prayer filter, what in the world are those guys talking about? Well, we've got it on a bookmarker. And I'll send you one for free if you want one. If you don't have it, it's part of a set, but hey, I'll send you just one if you want. It's called the Prayer Filter. It's also the Prayer Amplifier, because we can do both of those things. We learn from our pastor. So if you'd like that, the Prayer Filter, the Prayer Amplifier, you can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We're on the internet at Scriptures for, F-O-R, America.org, and ask for that, the prayer filter. We'll send it to you. We'll send it to you. So,
yeah, it's sad to see the conversion over the years from the people crying out to God to crying out to FEMA and to the government. They've, you know, basically replaced God with government, and I think God's made evident here in the last several disasters that FEMA's not going to be there for you, and FEMA's not going to be the one that's going to save you. It's going to be crying out to Jesus Christ that's going to save you.
Amen. Amen. You know, over in California, I don't know if you've been seeing it, but, you know, they've been having earthquakes. I mean, we had earthquakes in, I think it was Oklahoma, just a few weeks ago in September. And over on the San Andreas Fault, they've been having rumblings. I've been seeing just little bits and pieces. Jason, I don't know if you've seen any more on this, but little rumblings and bits and pieces of you know, these, what they call them, earthquake swarms in California. You think FEMA's going to be able to do anything about that if the earth itself starts rumbling and tumbling? It's time to be right with God. Jason, I don't know if you've seen anything on any of that, the recent earthquakes over there.
I've read some stuff on it, but, you know, really, that's about all I know about it. I know I got a guy that's doing some research on it. We're going to hopefully cover it, some of it, next week. It's kind of a weird phenomenon. Reminds me of the pastor's message that God causes earthquakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think?
One of the things that I did find that was interesting this week, and so there's right now there's a lot of saber rattling going on between the United States and Russia. There was this weapons reduction treaty that was signed in 2011, and basically the treaty was to limit, to reduce the number of nuclear warheads that the world had, and the United States was supposed to reduce it by so many. I believe that, you know, the the U.S. and Russia basically had about 5,000 of them apiece. Now it sounds like Russia's down to 4,700. We're down to 4,200, 4,200 to 4,500 of them. And you know they're doing this saber rattling with Obama's been pushing for the last couple of years that we need to get rid of all these weapons. Well, you know, weapons of warfare are kind of important to a nation, especially when you're trying to defend yourself. You know, now nuclear weapons. Yeah, am I a fan of nuclear weapons? Absolutely not. I mean, I think that's. They do a lot of destruction, and the thing is the destruction. Yes, I can completely agree with the destruction, because when you're fighting an enemy and you want to kill him, you want the most powerful thing that you can get. But at the same time, it's like when it lasts for generations to come, that the effects of that radiation, is that a good thing? Absolutely not. But I mean, there's in a lot of ways there's no difference than the weapon of warfare that they're using against us with genetically modified foods that are destroying generations to come. Also, but you know, if you think about it, a president, a king, anybody that's in charge of a country, a nation that is trying to get rid of all of their weapons when there's all these other countries out there that still have these weapons. I mean, it's just a disaster. I mean, it's just basically opening an advertising and saying, okay, here we are, come over and take over us. And which is, it's been one of the plots of the enemy for some time, but it's just getting closer and closer. And there's a lot of saber rattling going with this nuclear warfare. And I think we're going to see more of that here in the near future, just based on what's being said. Putin finally said enough's enough, and he had enough of it. Everybody trying to be a dictator to him and what he can do with his country, and he'd been complying with getting rid of, he agreed to get rid of so many nuclear warheads and was doing it. And finally they got to where the UN and the United States wanted to go in and inspect all of their nuclear weapon facilities and inspect their warhead facilities and this and that. And he's like, no, that's part of my defense system. And you're not going to do it. And they kept pushing and pushing. And finally he says, okay, I just pull out of the treaty. I'm done. And walked away from it.
Yeah, I was reading this morning, an article says Russia has beaten the United States to key strategy in Syria with its new ability to create a no-fly zone delivered by the new S-300 surface-to-air missile system, according to military analysts. So basically, they got these high-tech surface-to-air missiles that are mobile launchers, and they just rolled them into Syria and created, told the U.S., basically, if you fly in this no-fly zone, we'll shoot you down.
Yeah.
But sounds like what the Bible says.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Matthew 24:6. You will hear, or you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but they are not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all of these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs.
Amen. And we are in those last days. Well, guys, we can open the phone lines up this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, folks, if you have a comment or a question or just want to say good morning, we might pour you a cup of coffee. You never know if the coffee gets done in time. Presidential election,
yeah, and everything has just gotten so crazy, and it's like what you see isn't what you get, and you know, we're living in those times of deception, deceiving and being deceived, and you know, it's like you can't take anything at its worth. I mean, it's like can you really believe anything that the media is telling you? Absolutely not. You got to take it, and you got to kind of dig through it, and try to decipher what is really going on here. You know, and yeah, that's one of the things that that you just got to do, you know, and everything with prayer. And I think that that's why it's like it's so important to use that prayer filter, because sometimes you may see somebody that you think might need prayer, and indeed, you know, they'll make themselves out to be a victim when, in fact, is it could be just God just dealing with them. You know, and now's the time to be praying for more of that Holy Spirit, because that's what we need. That's what is going to get us through it.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, you look at what has happened with, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was looking at the news this morning, and it said it was, one of the headlines was under World News, was the latest. Obama personally congratulates Santos over Nobel Peace Prize. And it said the White House says that U.S. President Barack Obama has spoken with Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos to congratulate him on being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his work seeking to end the longest conflict in the Western Hemisphere. Okay, well, you know, first of all, that simply, you know, isn't true. And this guy's awarded a peace prize. And it's kind of interesting because I've read about this guy in the past. I knew the name sounded familiar, so I pulled it up. But you know, he was charged with all kinds of murders over there in that area, and was just basically was nothing but a mercenary for a long time. And you know, was somebody that got into a position of power and basically took him and his men and killed for the highest bidder. And you know, and here's somebody that they're lifting up, that our president is congratulating on, that they give a Nobel Peace Prize to, and he's nothing but a killer. And, you know, I've been thinking about the scripture a lot lately. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe it says that he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is so true. I mean, and it shows you, I mean, what they're doing. And here they can put a picture up. Oh, yeah, he's cleaned up now. You know, you look at the pictures of some of the old pictures that you can find online with all the bodies laying around of all the people that they've killed. You know, and he looks pretty rough, like a rough Colombian. Now he's got a nice red tie on, a white shirt, and a suit coat, and is all cleaned up and surrounded by nice cars and nice people. And, oh, they appoint him a peace prize. The president's got to congratulate him on that. And, you know, you talk about deception.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a time.
I mean,
it's a time of deception.
It's something that could not be farther from the truth, you know, and it just shows you where we're at. Oh, you know, here this guy is, and it's, you know, a mercenary, a killer, a murderer. You know, you should look at the pictures of, I'll try to write something up on it and get it on the newswire, because it's just, I mean, the bodies and bodies and pictures of bodies that you see around him. I mean, you know, he used to be, you know, from outlaws to Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, it's the same thing, no difference than what happened with Nelson Mandela. You know, Nelson Mandela, he was held up to be a hero for so many people, even here in the United States. I mean, there were people that I talked to that were talking about how it was so sad what happened to Nelson Mandela after he died. And, you know, he was one that was torturing people over there in Africa with, you know, standing them up and lining tires around them and filling the tires with gasoline and lighting them on fire and torturing them and watching them burn to death.
Yeah, he was
that's how he got to where he was at.
Yes. Yeah, an absolute terrorist. Well, you know, Obama got that Nobel Peace Prize as well, you know, for being a community organizer. And, you know, they've completely turned that around. It's in the days that evil is called good. Good is called evil. You're right. Deception reigns. You don't know what to believe. That you read the headlines. And, you know, there's always more to the story, that's for sure. You know, yeah, that Nobel Peace Prize. I know a guy went in and got his oil changed
and got a Nobel Peace Prize. And so, you know, they have perverted. That's what our enemy does. They take what is good and pure, and what has been part of our culture, and pervert it. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let's take a caller here. Let's see. Here's one. Oh, we'll try this one. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. This is Tom in Montana. How are you,
Tom? Good. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Hey, morning, Tom.
Morning. Hey, I kind of woke up with a heavy heart this morning over the damnable evil leaders that are ruling over us, Lord. God, deliver us from it. Hey, you know, this whole election bit, it's just a rope-a-dope thing. Two wackos running, and they've got all this stuff stirred up, but Lord, we just leave it to you, Lord. Deliver us from all this evil that surrounds us, Lord. Protect your remnant, Heavenly Father. It just don't understand it, Lord, but we know that we get it from our sins. We ask for forgiveness of those sins,
yes,
Lord. Back as far as it needs to be, Heavenly Father. I don't know. It's just crazy as all get out of it.
Yeah, well, see, you got your heart for God and for His people, just like our pastor did. And I remember him telling me, like, going to the malls, you know, especially down here in Colorado, but even Wyoming, you could see the disintegration in society over the years, and it hurts. It really, you cry out for those people who are lost, who don't have hope anymore. And I know that's what you're going through right now. I was telling people today, I said, think about this. If you got 50% of the people, or close to it, in this country that are willing to vote for Hillary Clinton, the absolute worst candidate that the Democrats could put up, there's only one reason for that, and that's the hand of God, and it's the judgment of God, and it's coming down upon His people. And if we don't come to that place of repentance and cry out and fall upon our face, that judgment's just going to continue to roll forward.
Oh boy, amen to that. And it's there's so many things going on in this world. You know, I heard something somewhere, I don't know where, whether even the truth or not, but they're whipping up the enemies against us to not be afraid to go after people with knives, any little thing, you know, and to, you know, it's all the rag and whatnot, but it's not. It's our own fault, but we've got to wake up to it.
Amen.
Yep. There's no shortage of things to pray for or against, and you know the only thing we put our trust in is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's why the prayers are so important. The full armor of God, and just the Lord's Prayer. I mean, deliver me from evil. You know. I think those prayers are going to be so critical. The prayers of a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light. You know, around our families and even all that God's blessed us with, because you know they got plans to pretty much steal everything that God's blessed the people with, and to spread it around. There's an article that came out this week. I don't know if it's true or not. Don't have two witnesses, but I don't put it past them. The Secretary of Housing and Development saying that those who were on Section 8, which was typically low-income housing, which, by the way, they infiltrated into most small communities, and now they're saying that, well, we want diversity, so we're going to start moving those people into the affluent neighborhoods. And we're going to pay whatever the rent is to move them into those affluent neighborhoods. So basically what they're telling you is, if you're working and you're barely making it, but you're paying your bills, you're better off not working. Let the government provide for you, and you can live in Beverly Hills if you want. But isn't that where we're at in Babylon?
It absolutely is.
Oh, boy. No. What's up is down, and what's black is white, and what's good is evil, and what's evil is good. It's just amazing how the Bible has spelled it out, and the time is now. People, wake up. Wake up, get right with God, and join the fight against it all if you are a righteous person. Well, I just thought I'd say hello, and it was good to hear from you fellows, and glad you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Tom.
All right, Tom. God bless, brother.
Yep, you too.
Good fight.
Well, folks, the phone number is 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call in this morning. About halfway through the program here, live this October 8th, 2016.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have been watching. I kind of keep an eye on the Roman Catholic Church and the papacy and the Pope. And apparently this week the Protestant churches are continued to unite with Babylon. The Pope and the Anglican leader met and called for unity. Pope Francis and the leader of the worldwide Anglican Communion, Archbishop Justin Welby, said Wednesday that the two bodies can and must be united in a common cause. And then I also read an article about the ELCA, I think it's the Lutheran church that basically has said that they need to adapt back to the Roman Catholic traditions as well. So you can see that great whore Babylon calling the sister churches back to it, just as the Bible prophesied.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it says right here, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, voted overwhelmingly last week to approve a declaration of unity with the Roman Catholic Church in an endeavor to enumerate the many points of agreement between Lutherans and Catholics. So that's something that I'm working on too, hopefully for a newsletter article. But when Martin Luther nailed that thesis to the door, it wasn't just one thing. There was, you know, I don't know how many things, but that's what I want to find out. But all of that stuff has crept back into the Lutheran Church. I mean, all you got to do is go there and you can see it's pretty much, very similar to what the Catholic Church is.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you look at, you know, it's full of destruction. It's just, you know, destructive in the way that they've changed everything about, you know, about the church. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's. I believe that they're showing their colors, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, if you got a church that's accepted and tolerant, let's face it, the New World Order, it's not a myth, it's not a conspiracy theory. This is what's taken place. It started many years ago. George Bush Sr., actually, Jason brought this up, in 1991, 10 years to the day of 9/11, gave his famous speech, which
Warren
basically told us, and we will get it done. And you can see that one world church is going to be the Roman Catholic Church that they're trying to raise up, at least.
Well, and it's interesting, another thing, just a side note, I don't want to distract you, but George Bush in 2001, October 8th, which was on this day, in 2008 or 2001, so that would be 15 years ago. 15 years ago today was the day that he announced the establishment of the Office of Homeland Security.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know, 2001, you think about that, 15 years ago, that's when he announced it. Nobody had heard of it. And, you know, now look at what Homeland Security has become. And, I mean, it has become in 15 years. I mean, you can't go into a city or a town, you know, without having it there.
Yeah. Well, that's the TSA, too, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Anyway, I'll let you get back to that, but I just wanted to get that in there before I forgot.
And that's one thing that you can say to people, too, that really kind of wakes them up, at least, or maybe releases them from the spell for a second or two, is who is it who's lost freedom since 9/11? There's only one people who've lost freedom since 9/11, and that's the American people.
Oh, yeah.
And they passed this stimulus bill, you know, in 2008 or whatever it was. And bottom line is, you look at that almost $1 trillion that was spent, and it was spent against the American people in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Surveillance and Big Brother, whatever it was all used against the American people.
Amen. Let's go back to the phone lines, guys. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is George from Southern Illinois.
Well, good morning, George.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to call in and say that it's a beautiful, sunny morning out here. Probably hit the 40s last night. Me and my dad and my brother and brother Nick and brother Leon and brother John are all sitting around a campfire here this morning listening to you guys on the radio, and it brings back the memories of the men's meetings and how we yearn for that brotherly fellowship together. And I figured I'd just call in, and you know, we get listening to the shortwave, everything's coming in good there. It seems like it couldn't be a better morning, and it's a good morning to praise God. So I appreciate everything you guys are doing here, and figured I'd just call in and let you guys know that. We're talking about different things on around the campfire of different ways that God delivered us out of certain situations in our life, and just kind of thinking about that. You know, men together sharpening sword with sword, and you know, encouraging the brothers together. It just seems like it's a beautiful day, and praise God. So
amen. Well, thanks for taking the time and calling in and sharing that. That's it's encouraging to us, you know, to know that there's, because we get this opportunity today to talk and fellowship with like-minded, you know, brethren, the three of us, and you know, we'll get it again tomorrow at church to join together and to do that very thing, to you know, praise God and talk about the way He's delivered us, and that's encouraging to one another, and it's encouraging to us to hear that you know, the brethren are doing out there doing the same thing out there. That's good.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We do plan on listening into you guys through the radio tomorrow morning, and be taking communion together. And I do have a little prayer request, though. Brother Nathan from Branson was planning on making it down, and I just got a call a few minutes ago and said that he wasn't going to be able to make it down here today because Elena, his daughter, I think that's what her name was.
Yes.
She's not going to be able to make it because she wasn't feeling that good, and they got to be at home and tend to her. So we said a little prayer here for her, but I figured if I could call in and have more men out there pray for her, it increases the chances. So
we'll sure do it. We'll sure do it. Well, Heavenly Father, we do. We join with our brothers in Illinois, and Lord, with you, the Holy Spirit, and our brethren here and the remnant joining us, Lord. We know they're listening in Florida and Montana and all over. Lord, we come together in prayer for little Elena, Lord. there in Missouri. We ask your health and healing to be upon her, Lord. Send your angels to tend to her, to tend to her family, Lord. This is a physical affliction, Lord. We just ask for your health and healing. Lord, if it's spiritual, Lord, we know that greater are you that are for us than anything that can come against us. Now, Lord, we've armored up today. We've prayed on the full armor of God. And so, Lord, we come against any spiritual forces that would dare come against Elena or this Christian family. And, Lord, we bind, bundle, and burn any evil intent that would come against this family. And, Lord, we loose the Holy Spirit. We ask you, O Lord, Holy Spirit, go down and protect and be with this family. Let your health and healing be there upon them, Lord. Be with little Elena, Lord. And we know she loves you and her family loves and serves you, Lord. And we just ask your health and healing to be upon them. Strengthen them, lead, guide, and direct them, Lord, in all that they do. And again, Lord, let your health and healing be on Elena, be on Alex, be on Nathan and Anna, Lord. Just guide and direct them all. And let your blessings flow upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I do encourage the people that are listening out there this morning to just take a few minutes today and think about different times in their life where God's, you know, helped them through sicknesses. Or one thing going around the campfire this morning is a lot of traffic accidents that could have been pretty severe that God delivered them out of, or different situations in their life where God's helped them through things, and that does encourage the body and the soul and the spirit when that happens. So if people could do that, that would be glorifying God today. So,
amen.
Amen.
Yep.
But anyway, I will talk to you guys later. I appreciate you letting me say a few things, and you guys have a blessed day.
All right, you too. God bless. Men, can you just picture that? They're sitting there around a campfire, and, you know, it ain't passing a bottle of whiskey around. It's passing around praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's a sweet...
They got their Bibles open, too.
Amen. That's a sweet time of fellowship. It really is. You know, Christ said he wants our joy to be made full. Well, you know, that sure does it. I think it really does. And, you know, George talking about, you know, being saved from auto accidents. You know, I know we all have stories on those, you know, from hitting deer and totaling vehicles to being rear-ended to, you know, getting sideswiped in traffic circles and just all types of accidents that I know we've all had in the local church that everybody's been protected in.
Amen. Yeah, and our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, we've been going through the book of Daniel, and we were in chapter 9 this week. And, you know, if you read that, the headline or the subtitle for chapter 9 is Daniel's Prayer for His People. And such a powerful prayer in verses 4 through 19. And I made a challenge to all of those men to pray that prayer daily. You know, the Bible says that one Elijah can change the world, and what could 14 or 16 men who are fervently crying out to God and confessing the sin, because that's what this is. This is first it's preparation to go to the throne, and then it's the crying out, and then it's the asking for grace and mercy and forgiveness. And I think it's just a great prayer, especially, you know, this is the month we're in, is Halloween. It's no doubt that it's Satan's high holy month as far as the wicked ones reveling in it. So, you know, with this election coming up and Halloween and all that, I think it's definitely a commitment that's doable for every one of us to pray that prayer in Daniel 9.
Amen.
Every day at a minimum.
Amen. That's Daniel 9. Yep, Daniel's prayer for his people. Well, folks, you heard the challenge. If you're up for it, there's a Christian godly challenge to pray We are to be a praying people. We don't pray enough. I speak for myself anyway. But I think that holds true for most of the remnant. We can find time. The Bible tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. And, you know, our pastor taught that. You know, I remember one thing comes to mind. Our pastor used to teach that, you know, sometimes you might wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning. You just wake up out of a sound sleep in their yard, and you can't go back to sleep. You toss and turn. And I think we've all talked about it, that sometimes that comes upon you. Well, you know, if it comes upon a worldly person, they may get up and get a drink of something or you know, take some sleep aid or whatever it is. But our pastor taught that, you know, when that happens, pray. Just start praying. You know, you should have a prayer list in your mind of people. You know, you can pray for your family. You can pray for your church. You can certainly pray, as Tom said this morning, and you know, got a text from him at 6 this morning, you know, to pray against these, these ungodly, leaders that we have in the land today. And so, when you find yourself in a predicament, you don't have to wait like the South Carolina governor until the hurricane's bearing down on you, bringing 8-foot flood surges into your towns, and then say, well, now we need prayer. No, we are to be a praying people. The Bible says to pray at all times in the Spirit, and I know I sure took that to heart when our pastor taught on that years and years ago about that. You know, you wake up at 2, 3, if you're awakened out of a good sleep, it may be the Holy Spirit there, you know, that shook you awake. And prayers might be needed, you know. And if someone comes to mind, you know, you may think, I know that's happened to me sometimes. You think sometimes, why am I thinking about that person? You know, pray for him. You know, and you can, as Jason mentioned earlier, you know, you can activate the prayer filter. You can sure do that. You can say, Lord, I don't know why this person, you know, I don't know where they are with their walk with you. I don't know where they are, but Lord, you know, here they are. We can activate the prayer filter, Lord, and you know, we don't want to bless the cursed people. The Bible talks about accursed people. The Bible talks about those that God hates, not just sinners, but a people. And we can say, Lord, you know, we activate the prayer filter. We don't want to bless those that hate you. We don't want to bless those that you hate, and we don't want to curse those that are to be blessed. And that's one of the functions, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to perfect our prayers. They don't have to be long and flowery and wordy and all that, but we're to pray at all times in the Spirit, the Bible says. And when we do that, it draws us closer to God. And, you know, it may be that's what that person needed, is those prayers. So, you know, you find yourself waking up at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, pray. If you find, somebody comes to mind that maybe you haven't thought of in a while, or maybe you just saw 10 minutes ago, but they come back to mind and it comes up on your mind. You know, as Christians, sometimes that's the moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It may be an audible word. It may be just that they, you know, someone or something comes to mind. And as Tom said earlier when he called in, maybe that burden. But when it does, pray. Don't neglect that burden that can come from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, 307-745-5913. Got a few minutes left in this morning's program. If you want to give a call, and had a praise report yesterday. It's kind of cattle moving time around here, so we needed to move some cattle yesterday afternoon, and we had our buddy Cowboy Paul, our neighbor out here, help us, and we went and helped him move a few of his calves yesterday morning for a short time. And when we went up there, his wife was going into the cardiologist. Now, we prayed for his wife, Nell, on Wednesday night. John, you offered up a very powerful and heartfelt prayer for Nell. She had a horse wreck here about a year or so ago, and went into the hospital and was fine from that, it seemed like, but was having some heart flutters and different things. And this week she sought prayer. She sought prayer in town from Christians. And Paul, her husband, asked if we would pray for her, and we did. And when we went up there to see him yesterday morning, she was going into the cardiologist. And she said she just wanted to go in and, you know, get checked, see how things were going. So said hi to her, and she was off. Well, as we wrapped up moving cattle yesterday afternoon with Paul, I asked him as we parted ways, you know, have you heard back from your wife? And he said, yes. Yeah. She said, the cardiologist said there's nothing wrong with her.
Lord.
Praise the Lord. And so, you know, and Christ gets the glory. Jesus Christ still heals today. He does. He does, you know. We prayed Wednesday night for a young woman, 38, 39 years old, for named Shauna down in Florida. And it's a family friend of my family down there. And Thursday at 11:48 a.m., I got this text as an update. It says, they removed her breathing tube today. I just talked to Shauna on the phone. She's awake and breathing on her own. Very tired, but she's doing much better. Thank God. And thank you for putting it out there for the prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because that is where the praise and the glory and the credit goes. It is. It is.
Yeah, I was just reading something this morning, too, you know. I think it's important that people understand when these tests and trials come into our lives, as far as, you know, sometimes it's cancer, and you know, that's a scary thing for most people. And I have a couple of people that we know that are going through that one right now. One of them, no doubt in my mind, that anointing her and praying over her caused that cancer to shrivel up and die, just as we had prayed. She did end up having to go through a surgery. And when they removed that tumor, it had all the tentacles, stage 4, which basically it never, ever comes back, that it's dead, you know. And doctor came in and told him that, well, it was stage 4. We got it all. And it's dead. So you're cancer free. And she knew it. And she knew that the reason she had to go through that surgery was a testimony, because we had also given her a prayer cloth. And she clung to that prayer cloth as she went into surgery. And they said, well, you can't take that in there. And she said, well, I'm not going. And she clung to that prayer cloth the whole way through that surgery. And then, you know, and sometimes God uses those things, and the ones that we love, to get our attention.
Yes.
And it just so happened that there was some strife between that husband and wife, and he wasn't where he needed to be on his walk. And boy, nothing will bring you to your knees faster than the thought of your wife dying, or your child, or something like that. Sometimes God uses that. Sometimes he'll kill the body to save the soul too. That's the thing we have to realize. But you know, there's another situation we're going through right now, and I know for a fact that it's probably to get to the husband that this wife is going through this trial, and there's no doubt in my mind that she'll be delivered. But, you know, let it be a lesson to those of us that are the patriarchs of our household. We have a responsibility.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, folks, if you hear what John's saying, and it doesn't make sense to you, or it doesn't seem right, or you know, it seems kind of foreign to you, you got to read your Bible. Because that's the Bible story from beginning to end. You know, that is how God works. It's how He's always worked. You know, the things that we think how things ought to be, well, that's just how we think. That's not always what we find in the Word. And so, you know, John, you're absolutely right. And sometimes these things are foreign to our people because the Word of God is foreign to them. You know, they might get one or two verses read to them, or if they're going to a church on Sunday and that's about it, they get, you know, just a few scripture verses and that's it, and then it's back into Babylon. But if you read your Bible, you'll see that character of God. It's not that He doesn't love His people. It's that He does love His people.
Amen.
But you know, it has to be His way. What God does is right. You know, boy, you read through Isaiah. We're just kind of reading through that in the Bible reading plan, and some of it's death and destruction and wiping out. But it's right in the eyes of God. You know, Isaiah 1:18 says, God says, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. And you can reason with God, but it's on God's terms. It's on God's facts. It's on the Word of God that you can reason with Him. And when He says the wages of sin is death, guess what? The wages of sin is death. But when He says repent and be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll dwell forever with Me in the heavenly kingdom, well, that's true. But it's got to be based on the Word. And when He says, when you're sick, call for the elders to pray and confess your sins one to another, and the fervent prayers of the righteous are answered, guess what? The fervent prayers of the righteous are answered. It is as simple as that. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks for joining us this morning, men. Thanks for getting up, and we appreciate the callers and all of you joining us out there. We ask you to join us for church tomorrow. You can come back, have some more fellowship tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. 11 a.m. on the East Coast and noon, or 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, and join us at Scriptures for America for the live broadcast there starting at 10 a.m. at the LaPorte Church of Christ. If you go to the website, Scriptures for America, you can click on the live video broadcast, and we'll have a scriptural insight, a review of the news. You'll see John there with he'll have a welcome for us. We've got communion planned, some Holy Spirit inspired music, and a Holy Spirit-inspired message that'll be full of scriptures, full of truth that we need for today. Well, thanks again, men. And folks, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake hide!
Moving, moving, moving.
though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting.